Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church this morning, this beautiful morning. I'm John Gentry. It's my pleasure to welcome you. And if we have any visitors this morning, we certainly appreciate you coming and would ask all of you please to notice the attendance pad at the end of the pew. If you'd please fill that out for our records, we'd certainly appreciate it. Have several announcements this morning, which you can follow along in the bulletin if you wish. First, in 2018, the Asbury Food Pantry served over 6,000 pounds of food to people in need. Now they're in need of your help. The shelves need peanut butter, spaghetti, rice, pasta, and sauce, mac and cheese, canned chicken, and cereal due to the illustrious government shutdown. We anticipate a great need. Thank you for the donations this week, and please continue to give. You can check out the webpage for expanded list. Also, there are many Bible studies happening at Asbury. Tuesday evening in Bible Basics at 5:30, Wednesday morning in an Asbury Men's Study at 6 a.m., Wednesday evening at 6 is the Wally G study. And starting tonight at 5:30 is the women's study titled Breathe. There is a little something for everyone who likes to study the Bible. Registration is currently open for the 2019-2020 ACCDC school year for church members and current student siblings. Contact ACCDC, that's a mouthful, Director Miss Ora Burton for more information. Her email address is listed in the bulletin for more information. Also, mark your calendar for February the 5th for a terrific Tuesday. Caleb Conrad will be the entertainment. It may be one of the best luncheons yet. Call the office to reserve your seat. Sunday, February the 10th, will be Scouting Sunday at Asbury. We will honor scouting troops that Asbury United Methodist Church sponsors on this special Sunday. You can see these and many other announcements in your bulletin. So now I invite you to pass the peace of Christ. Please stand and join me with the reading of the call to worship in your bulletin. We gather together in the name of the one who bids us come.
We gather together to hear the words of the one who is love.
We gather together to sing praises to the Lord who teaches peace.
Come let us worship.
Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, How Firm a Foundation, on page 529.
Our Lord, he is saved, our Lord, he is saved, our Lord, he is saved, our Lord, he is saved.
remain standing for the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's on page 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born by the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Have any children? Let's meet Miss Laura Stinnett this morning. Up front, please.
Can y'all help me? All right. This morning, can you come over here, CJ, and help us? We're going to put together a puzzle. Here we go. Here we go. We got some pieces. Here we go. How do you think? Come here, Elizabeth. Come help. Okay. Let's see. This one probably goes right up here. Come here, CJ. Come see. One probably goes down here. That one goes right there. There we go. That one goes there. And this one goes up here like that. And this one goes where? Probably right there. Uh-oh. What's wrong? What's wrong? Where are the extra pieces? Oh, you did? Okay, great. Thanks, Miss Val. Okay. Oh, good. Good, that's part of this piece. Okay. Where does that one go? Oh, that one goes there. Okay.
Miss Laura, I found one up here.
Oh, you found one up there? Okay, good. Woo! Okay, we're getting there. Okay. Oh, that goes in the middle. Awesome. Oh, we're still missing one.
The laundry found this in my jacket.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. What does that do? What does that make a picture of? It completes our puzzle. Wow. And you know why? I was talking about it because, you know, we all came together to put together this puzzle since we were missing pieces, don't they? Miss Val had one. She sings in the choir and she uses her talents for that. And she does her talents. She also teaches Vacation Bible School and she does all of that. Mr. John had one. I don't know why the laundry found it. But he's lady. He's part of the church that is out here like other congregational members, and they have all kinds of talents. And then Pastor Doug had one, and he's got all kinds of talents. And what happens is we take all these gifts and all these talents, and we come together, and that makes up a church. That gives us unity, because we all have different body parts, and we all have different talents. And all of those together come together, and you know what bonds us all together? Love. Because we all love what we do, and we all love being together at Asbury. And so even though we have different parts, we all completed it together. Let's pray. Gracious God, we just thank you for today, and we thank you that we can all have different talents, different graces, but we all come together with love to help put together Asbury United Methodist Church and all that we do. We just ask that you be with us and guide us and direct us. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, we ask that you keep those listed in the bulletin in your hearts and prayers: Janet Brandt, Becky Flynn, Clifford Smith, Cammy Mackey, and all those furloughed in the government, the furloughed government employees. Keep them in your hearts and prayers. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today, your children. with love and admiration in our hearts. You have done and will continue to do so much for us and in ways we can't even see. We pray all we say and do this morning blesses and honors you. When we seek your kingdom first, Lord, and all your righteousness, you pour blessings upon us. But there are so many distractions in our daily lives, we sometimes find it hard to defend against the attacks. May we be reminded every day to put on your armor, your full armor, to protect us from the darts of the evil one who wants to steal our joy at every moment. Gracious Father, we continue to pray for our nation, a nation hurting from divisiveness. We pray for healing. We pray for understanding. And we pray for hearts longing to serve one another and you most of all. We acknowledge you are in control and nothing passes you without being seen. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Loving Provider, we bow before you with our tithes and gifts, ready to present them in accordance with your word. Make in us a giving heart, chasing after you and obeying your commands. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us, on page 381.
Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. I think today is one word sermon title day. Earlier, now I didn't say one word sermons. I said one word title sermons. Sorry. Choices. Pastor Mary spoke this morning on choices, and in this service, it's unity. Physicists tell us one of the most stable atoms in the universe is the hydrogen atom because of the strong bond that it has between its elements. They also say that 92% of the entire universe is made up of hydrogen. That's a pretty strong universe, in my opinion. Now, when you take one item of hydrogen and you mix it with two atoms of oxygen, you get something that is essential for life, H2O, or water. Now, astronomers search for it on distant planets because it is evidence that that planet could support life if and only if there was water on the planet. The bond between hydrogen and oxygen is one of the most important, if not the most important, bond on this earth. But what would happen if you would disrupt this bond? When you separate out the hydrogen and the oxygen, you separate them through a process called electrolysis, you get two separate gases, and you get a little heat in the process. But what would you get when you try to disrupt just the single hydrogen atom? During World War II, that was the question. Robert Oppenheimer and other scientists wanted to answer, and they did in the development of the hydrogen bomb. What they achieved was a weapon the world has never seen before. But what was the answer to the question that they sought? What would you get when you disrupted the strong bond of the hydrogen atom? So we all know you get utter chaos. This morning, I want us to consider bonds, or better said, the bonds of unity. What this unity looks like, and what it looks like when we have disunity. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to grab them. We're going to turn to the book of Ephesians. I'll be reading out of the New International Version this morning, and I'm going to read versions 1 through 7. And I just pray that these words, when read aloud, that they will bless you, and that you hear them anew as if for the first time. Beginning chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, but completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it is said, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. The word of God for the people of God. There was a movie that came out several years ago, and it was called Phenomenon. Some of you may remember that movie starring John Travolta. He played a not-so-bright character called George Malley. It was about a man who saw a light in the sky, and when it came down on him, it knocked him unconscious. When he regained consciousness, he had miraculous brain power. He could read entire books and retain them 100%. He could move objects like pencils and sunglasses with just his mind, a process called telekinesis. People were scared of what George had become because they didn't understand. The enhanced mental capacity and abilities that George had wasn't from some light in the sky, as it turned out. It was because George had a brain tumor that caused him to have some brain function and brain ability like no other human before him, instead of a tumor stifling brain activity. The sad part is that tumor was going to end up killing George, and only a few people in town knew it, including the town doctor, Doc Brunder, played by Robert Duvall. In one scene, Doc is sitting at the bar, contemplating and just agonizing over his friend's condition and how it was going to end up. He was sitting there listening to the bartender and two other guys down the bar, tearing George down. They tried to play off George's new abilities as tricks, or maybe just sleight of hand, that he just couldn't be that smart. He was just fooling people. Doc finally explodes at the three, asking them why they had to tear George down. Why did they have to find some reason to bring him down in order to make themselves look better? George didn't want anything from them, Doc told him. He never asked. All he wanted to do was to help people with his new ideas that he come up with. I can tell you what drove these three men to tear George Malley down. And it's the same reason when some people find disunity between themselves and others: fear. We can look around today. We don't have to look far. We can see a lot of disunity in this world. Nations are afraid another nation is going to take something from them, is going to get something before they can get it. or they're going to try to impose their will on them. People are paranoid. Someone is going to get more than them. More compliments, more attention, more money, more you name it. And the list goes on and on. Fear. Fear can damage unity beyond imagination. Let's just say this. Disunity is a destroyer, plain and simple. It can destroy nations. It can destroy companies. It can destroy churches. And it can destroy families. Satan is the author of fear. And he uses it as his weapon of choice to disrupt and to destroy. And the sad part about it is, we let him. We let him. But we don't have to. We can push back against this weapon and defeat disunity where it begins. And here's how. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Fear can destroy everything God wants us to do, everything He wants us to be, and how He wants us to live. How good would it be, how good could it be, if we did not fear one another? The psalmist writes, Psalm 133, verse 1, "How good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity." Did I just read that correctly? Without fear of each other, our world could actually be pleasant. And we could live in unity. King David wrote this psalm. A man who definitely saw disunity in his kingdom and in his life. He also saw what happened when he fixed his eyes on God and not on worldly matters. When that happened, God blessed him so much that he promised David the Messiah would come through his lineage. What an honor for David to have. David chased after God's own heart without fear in his own. Well, let's pull out the big measuring stick. How important is unity to Jesus? In John 17, verses 20 and 23, we find Jesus praying to the Father, lifting up the disciples and those who will be touched by his message. We find Jesus praying, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Jesus knew the disciples were going to go through rough times, and also his church. He knew there would be those who would attempt to drive a wedge between them after he was gone. Jesus didn't pray for the disciples to have unity part of the time. He prayed for them to have unity all of the time. And did you notice something? Did you notice this? Jesus prays for you and for me. Listen, when he said, "I pray also for those who believe in me through their message." That is you and me. That should get you excited. Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for us to the Father, for us to have unity, so we could be one as he and the Father are one. And so Jesus and us
could be one. And not be one just part of the time. Jesus wants us to be in complete unity with Him all of the time. Just how do we do that? How? What type of mindset do we have to have? Well, first and foremost, you have to agree. We have to give up fear. Fear of others, fear of the unknown, fear of losing, fear of not having. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 gives us a pretty good recipe to help us stay in unity with Christ. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone." Let's break that down. First off, we are God's chosen, right? The scriptures tells us God chose us before the foundation of the world. We are holy because He loves us, whether we think we're holy or not. We are. Because of what God does for us, we should be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient with one another. Is that hard to be with some people? Yes, it certainly is. We all know someone like that. What would our lives be like if we, just for 1 hour, could be all of these things? Maybe we could just be humble and not patient. Or maybe we could be kind and not entirely gentle. No. Putting all these qualities to work is, dare I say, work. But there's one way we can put all of them together. And verse 14 of Colossians 3 tells us how. "And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You see, love is the glue, if you will. When we take on compassion and love, it's easy to be gentle and loving, humble and loving, patient and loving. God wants us to keep this unity. As we read earlier in this morning's text, make every effort to keep the unity. Do you see unity? Uni? One? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What would happen if we began with ourselves and the next person that we encountered? Through all of the virtues described in Colossians, we made every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. What bond would that create between us and that person? What if? You can't make water from anything other than hydrogen and oxygen. Apart, the two cannot sustain life on their own. Together, they are essential for life. Through unity, we can have a bond with each other and with our Heavenly Father that is stronger than even the hydrogen atom, one of the strongest bonds science can identify in our universe. But this morning, we've found the key to the strongest bond, not in the universe, but in all of creation, the unity of the Spirit. Let's overcome the chaos of this world through the unity of the Spirit. Let's put on the love of Christ and share it with all we encounter this week to make our lives and this world a better place. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 397, I Need Thee Every Hour. We're going to be singing verses 1, 2, and 5. And as you would, please stand if you'd like to come and visit our prayer rail this morning and just ask God to help you to overcome this fear. You can pray here. You can pray where you're standing. If you're here visiting with us, you'd like to unite with this church, please, now's the time for you to come forward. I'll meet you here, and we will accept you by whatever means is appropriate as we are singing, please. Spirit would talk with you this morning, that would let you hear the words that he had for you today. Not my words, but the words as we read in God's holy word, and also how the Holy Spirit would speak to you. And I hope, I pray that that happened this morning. It's going to be a good week. Let us just strive to have that unity of spirit, because alone we can't do it. We have to rely on God for his spirit so we can stay in unity, bearing each other up in forgiveness and in love. Please bow and receive this blessing. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your message this morning. For us all, what this world would be like if we could live in unity with one another, nations with nations, churches with churches, people with people, families with families. Father, what a wonderful, wonderful world, and you created it to be such. Help us to strive to make it just that way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.